This show furnished by Sid Levine.
Oh yeah, Tower of Power again, oil in the ground. All right, Sid Levine, the Sid Levine Show. And we are ready to have one heck of a show. Let me introduce our guests tonight. Jane Hijack. Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you, Sid?
One fantastic actress. We've been together for over 20 years.
Yes, that's right.
She does it all. She produces. She creates. She's also an incredible fitness expert.
Ah, thank you.
You're something else, Jane. And then we have Rhonna Cherney.
Hey, Sid. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here. Thanks.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this woman.
Ah.
So if you have any anger, put it out on me. Rhonda's been fantastic at the station here, and we've had a great, well, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months or
so. It's been great. No, I love the show. It's great.
Oh, thank you so much. And we have John Bryan.
Hey, Sid.
How you doing, John?
I'm fantastic, thanks. How are you?
All right. John is an accomplished music producer, has his own label. He's also produced television, film. He is one successful guy. Thank you so much for coming by, John.
Thanks for having me, Sid.
And, of course, we have the incredible, the
drummer.
Amazing. There we go. Good for that.
Oh, that's cute.
The beautiful.
Ooh, you can do that one again.
There you go. Go ahead, Keith. Do it again. Liz Fuller is in the house again, as usual, tonight.
Thanks, Sid. How was your week?
It was fantastic. Had a great week. You know, it's pilot season, so.
Crazy season, isn't
and
it?
I picked the wrong week to stop drinking. But it's pretty exciting, and this is where we all bite our fingernails and see if we can pull it off.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me start by giving the phone number for any callers at home. Now,
sure.
Grab your pen or grab your phone right now. I'm going to give everybody a little bit of time.
Yes.
Here we go. You ready for the phone number? 1-800-222-5222.
Give that to me again.
I know, you don't like me saying triple, do you?
No.
1-800-222-5222.
All right.
Ding dong. Thanks, Keith. He's good with the sound effects tonight.
Yes.
He's on ball.
We are going to have one fun show tonight, I'll tell you. All right, so Jane.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. We'll get into fitness, and then we'll get into the acting end of it. But, all right, Jane, I've got three auditions tomorrow, Monday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm scared to death because I gotta make one of them at least. I got to book one of them.
Right.
And what do I do? Like, I'm in okay shape, but what do I do in the morning? What should I do to get myself alert and feel loose and
okay,
ready
let's start before that morning. Okay, no drinking the night before, okay?
Oh.
No over drinking.
Uh-oh.
And get to bed. You know, really. I mean, it sounds so basic and everybody knows it, but so few people do it. It is rest. It is water, not alcohol. And it's really being alert. I mean, if you can get those in your sleep and eating well, then you're there. Now, if you have to be in a bathing suit, too bad, because you should have started at least a month ago. And if you look, let's say whatever weight you're over, if you're way overweight, you should have started a while ago. So
it's difficult, isn't it? Pilot season being straight after Christmas. I mean, come on. I put on about 10 pounds over the Christmas period.
It really is. It really is. But as I say, there's always a holiday. There's always a birthday. There's always a weekend. There's always a Friday night. I mean, we have so many reasons to eat and drink. So you just have to figure out what is more important to you.
And I guess LA, it really is the city of great restaurants, isn't it? I mean, who stays in and cooks a lot of the time? I do. No,
I don't
try and, you know, Sid, you're always out.
Yeah, I eat out all the time.
You don't know how to cook. Wow.
No, I can cook hot dogs and put them in the microwave, and I could do toast.
I'm pretty good.
Well, you know how to do deals for your clients. We know that much, don't we?
Yeah.
So what else? I mean, I guess if you had an audition now and it's pilot season, how soon are the sides coming out? Is it about 3 days? Is it about a week before? What's the pattern, Sid?
Well, for pilot season, sometimes you can get a hold of a script. Sometimes from confidentiality reasons, it's difficult to do that.
I've seen that. They're locking a lot of the sides, aren't they, with codes?
Yeah, and you usually, if you're called in to read for something pretty decent and big, and they know that you obviously want to be prepared, that obviously you'll get the sides, but which are the pages of the script. And sometimes you can get the script itself, which gives you an upper hand on everybody because you know how the other characters are going to react and so on and so forth.
So do you encourage all your actors to read all the other character sides as well?
You have to be prepared. A good actor, when they go in to read for a part, they know the dialogue of the other actor just as much as they know their own, because you have to be able to react to it all. And you want to be 100% prepared. You don't want to take anything to chance. Let's say you're on tape and the casting director asks you a question about, so what do you think of this character, and how do you think it was written? You think it was pretty good, or isn't that crazy, or whatever? And you have to respond to that, know what you're talking about. And it's on tape, and if you go, I didn't read it, then they'll go, aha! So you have to be 100% prepared. Don't go crazy, but you have to be 100% prepared. Now, Jane, what you said about getting sleep, how can you sleep?
Really, if you do, which I do, take care of my body, I eat well, I need to go to sleep. I mean, I need to. And I mean, because I've had a full day, and I've worked out, and I've taken care of my family, and I've eaten well. And I'm not that person that's like, oh my gosh, it's 11 and I still can't get to sleep. Oh, I gotta, I have no problem. I could probably go to bed at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
But
I think I'm the same.
Yeah. So I really sympathize, but you know what I say, those people that have problems, get up at 5, go to a 6 o'clock workout, get up at 6, go to a 7 o'clock workout, do something like that. And trust me, you won't be staying up till midnight, 1, 2, 3. You won't.
What do you think, Jane? If you work out in the morning before you have all these auditions, as opposed to saying, I'm not going to work out because I need my time, do you think it helps somebody?
I think it does me, but it's so individual. It's the same of me saying, hey, Liz, you know what? We're going to get on a workout program, and you're going to start at 5 in the morning. She's like, wait, I'm not a morning person. No, because this is the only way you're going to do it. No. If she wants to work out after work at 7, then that's what she should do. It's when you try to put people in this box and say, you've got to do it this way. Working out in the morning really works for me. And I just shot something on Friday and Saturday, and I did get up at 4 something to go to a 5 Ooh. O'clock class. And then Saturday I didn't, but still I was, you know, I had an early call and that, but you know, it just works for me. But no, I would not suggest that for everybody. And it's also, that's my life. I am a morning person workout. So that's natural. Now, Liz, if she had an audition at something, I wouldn't say, get up at 4 and do your 5 o'clock, if she never does that.
No, I have my routine. I get up Monday to Friday, 6:45. I'm on the treadmill, 7:15, right?
Really?
Yeah, to 8 o'clock, because I have the treadmill at home. So for me, it's easy. And then I get a Saturday and Sunday. My alarm's not set, but I'm in such a routine now that I still kind of wake up at that time. So you're either a morning person or you're a night person. And I used to think I was a night person. But then once I started doing this, I realized actually I love getting it done in the morning, because I feel like the early bird catches the worm. So if you haven't been a morning person, try it.
Well, I used to work out at midnight because that was the only
time. Well, that lasted soon.
Yeah. No, but I still
brutal.
Say whenever
that
you
is,
can. That is
brutal. What's the sound effect for that one, Keith?
But I think that people work out at 7 or 8 at night. That's insane to me. I mean, all I want, and yes, this is a trainer, a former trainer, but I still an actor in that, I want a glass of wine. I do not want to see, and there's nothing wrong with that. And
just
I can,
not the night before the audition.
Or it's just to me, everything in moderation.
I think I will probably.
Everything in moderation. But that's what the last thing I want to do at 7 or 8 is leave my family and go work out at a gym. And I do even have a gym, a little gym at my home. And yeah, I don't even want to do that.
Yeah, me too. And I don't. I put clothes on it.
Yeah, Jane, I have a quick question. Say you had an audition, right? It, obviously, it's pilot season, so Sid is kind of waiting for all his people are going for series regulars, right? This is the most important and exciting time of year. Say you get a series regular audition this week, and it's 5 or 6 pages. How fast can you pick up the lines? Like, do you have any tips for anybody listening?
I love just reading, not by myself, but oftentimes you have to do that. And this is crazy, but my thing is a rocking chair. So I rock a lot and learn lines that way. I have an 8-year-old. I'm not joking. If the language is somewhat calm in that, I'll see and I'll read it with her. But I will take any friend I can and just keep reading it back and forth, back and forth. That's my way.
Okay.
I think I'm decent at learning lines. I don't think I'm real quick.
Do you know how I've learned how I could do it? Flashcards. So I write the other person's words on a flashcard, not my lines.
Really?
And I literally lift them up and I try and remember what it was and I keep doing it until I've got it.
Wow.
So I hold the flashcards up because you can learn when you're looking down at the paper, but that's very different with being in the room and delivering it fast. So I literally go through flashcards and see if I can say my lines fast. Right. And it's a really strange way, but I found that was the only way I could do it.
Wow. All right, well, let me get to Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Hey,
Rhonda, you have been with this radio station and others, I guess, too, but this one in particular for how long?
March 2nd, it will be 31 years.
Long time.
Maybe
31 years.
Wow, where's the clang on that one?
I know, no.
Round of applause, please.
So, Rhonda, 31 years ago, you started working here. Did you think 31 years later you'd be here?
I never even thought about it. I did work at another radio station, a competitor, for 9 months. I came from print, landed at KLOS, KBC, and I just never thought about it. It was just a great place to work that it just, you know, you're always looking in the future, always booking clients.
So what do you do at the station?
To quote Billy Crystal, I sell air for a living.
City
Slickers, that's what I do. And when I saw that, I almost fainted. I thought, that's what I do. I sell air for a living. The commercials you hear, I deal with the ad agencies, the direct advertisers, and people who buy, you know, programming and so on and so forth. You, Sid, you know, I'm fortunate enough to meet a lot of great people, and that's what I do.
Have you ever had anybody that wanted to buy airtime that you wouldn't sell it to?
I've had to turn down people because we've been sold out. And yes, there were people that I've had to turn down. There are just certain things, you know, even right now with what's going on with, you know, weed, pot being legalized. And in the state of California, you can't run advertising.
So somebody might own a dispensary and they'd want to come on the air and talk about it. I can't do that.
I'm not sure about what specifically you can or cannot talk about. Just I know that, let's say, distributors, you cannot take their advertising. So,
really?
You know, but yeah, there's certain things they just will not take. Certainly.
Wow. What's the most fun you've had at this station in 32 years?
God, I had so many great years. So, you know, Mark and Brian were the morning team here for years and years, and I was blessed to be with them. I started before they did, and they retired. It was one of those things, was like any other partnership, any other marriage. And just, I mean, amazing people that we met, or not even just them, or even now. I mean, we've got greats that come in the radio station. I mean, KLOS is a legend, KABC. Mm-hmm. It was the first talk radio station in the United States. KLOS is a heritage talk station. Absolutely. Also, KLOS, when I think of people that we're in the other building. We're over on La Cienega. Mm-hmm. They sold it 2 years ago in December. They're now putting up a high rise. Anyways, just the people that came through those halls, the, you know, the political candidates, the rock bands, the Led Zeppelins, the this one, you know, I mean, everybody who could imagine was in there. So you have the news side and you have the rock side, and it was really an honor. So a lot of fun. I can't say one specific thing, but this is my highlight tonight, Sid.
Oh.
So,
in 31 years, that's big.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you for having me. This is great.
I have a question. I'm dying to know. So obviously when we come in every Sunday, it's quieter than in the week. Over Christmas and New Year, we came here in the week, and it was quite exciting to see everybody. How many rooms are there, or how many kind of galleries or studios are in this building?
The main studio for KBC is right across from us, right over there. And then KLOS, that's KBC, and then KLOS is right down the hall. So those are the two main studios. Then you've got all the other studios where there's production going on and, you know, the producers and all the rooms. So this is a new layout for us.
Is it easy to sell advertising on this station?
Of course. You know what? Is anything easy? You know, if you believe in your product and you love what you're doing, you know, I think that they're going to buy our radio stations, KLOS and KBC. You know, you're competing with all the other radio stations in Los Angeles and Orange County. And let's say somebody has X number of dollars to spend. Well, why should they buy your radio station? Right. And that's my job, you know, to tell them why, you know, how great our coverage is, how huge our signal is on KLOS, KBC, the amazing talent we have, or, you know, KLOS has Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Steve Jones. So, I mean, other people, Frosty.
Well, Michael Jackson, for years and years and years, owned talk radio in Southern California.
Yes, he did. I was here when he worked at, yeah, we had some amazing personalities. I mean, I could go on and on about who's been here, from Michael Jackson to, my gosh, Dennis Prager to Ken and John to Mark and Brian to, I mean, there's just so many people that have been here that, from Joe Benson. I mean, there's so many people that have been on this radio station. Jim Ladd, classic talent. But KBC also, just, this is where talk radio began.
You still have that passion.
I love doing what I do.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. After 30 some odd years.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. So, John.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How does it feel to have your own label?
It feels good, but I was more disappointed that she didn't say after 9 years I was the one that was the most successful.
That's right. That's right.
We would never have met if I wasn't doing a Kansas show.
And
I was looking for classic rock.
That's exactly it. That's right. It's actually.
Well, that's the second from me.
Well, that's her side of it, though. You can tell.
I'm sorry.
So how does it feel?
It's, you know what? It's been really great to be able to have a label and to be able to have a production company. You see, I've worked with so many different artists over my years.
Yes, you've worked with some great ones.
35 years almost in this business, and I've seen everybody in the business almost, or produced a show for them. And to be able to have your own label and artist, to be able to actually give to an artist that a chance that I didn't have maybe back in the day, to be able to say an upcoming artist, to say we're an independent label. So if you go to the majors, it's really a long shot. Right? You can't get – it's very hard to get to a major label deal. To an independent label, it's a little bit easier. But there's not too many of them out there. A lot of artists are opening their own labels. We chose a little over a year and a half ago to go in IMCG Productions as our production side, and then She Records as our record label side.
Well, let me ask you a question. Somebody gets a band together and they get lucky enough to play the Whiskey and the Rainbow and, it used to be Gazzari's in those days, but whatever's there now, because I don't go.
Right.
But, how does one get seen? How does one get a shot at a label?
You know what? You just have to showcase, and you just have to get on social. What's really great today is that labels, the majors have changed a lot too. Social media is driving everything. I mean, social media is really its own label anymore. I mean, we have different distribution outlets with Universal and Capital and people we could go to as an offshoot, as a distribution pass-through. But our feeling is social is so, a lot of kids today and a lot of people today, artists, their social media, some of these kids have 5 million followers, mm-hmm. 10 million followers, and they don't need a label, right? If they go to Spotify or iTunes and they're making 99 cents a song, or they're making whatever it is, times 5 million followers, the kids are doing okay. And young artists, I should say. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're kids, but young artists do okay.
So you've produced television.
Yep.
You've done it all. What is your favorite medium?
You know what? I look back into, you know, my brother wrote The Artist Way with Julia Cameron, and it was one of the bigger factors in my life because of the fact that I believe in the whole process. There's not one medium in entertainment that is any better or any worse than the other. I think they're all amazing. They all have their own flaws. They all have their own difficulties, and sometimes they suck, for lack of a better word, and sometimes they're fantastic. You surround yourself around great people, and, I mean, I have a very limited amount of close friends in the business because of fact this business you'll learn not to trust, sadly, because there's a lot of people that you know, your hit record is someone else's hit record, or, you know, your show is someone else's show, or, you know, your film is someone else's film. But I love them all. I Dash Myhawk, my partner in television side, is Ray Donovan. He's Bunchy on the show Ray Donovan.
Right.
What
and
a show.
That's
right?
A great show, yeah.
Amazing.
And Dash is, you know, Dash has had a heck of a career. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you see other people and you're with someone like that, and you see somebody at a bar or whatever with Dash, and they go, gosh, you know, your Romeo and Juliet role just influenced me into my career, you know, and even though he was bartending and he was out there pursuing it, the other gentleman, but he gave him hope, right? And I think in this business, I think it's our job, like your show right now, you're giving people hope. Right. In this business, it's so difficult. Every day you get up and you wonder how you're going to compete. Right. How am I going to compete in music? Like you said, the bands. If you go to every bar, if you go to every place in here, someone's playing. Right. And someone's sure. trying to make it. We've signed three artists this last year and we're pushing them out into production. We've got, you know, our records that we're producing for them, their singles that we're producing for them. And we have a Latin artist from Mexico, Dash's wife, Valeria Mason.
Oh, wow.
Which they met on Romeo and Juliet. A great story. You have to get them in sometime.
Sure.
Great.
Did you ever, were you a singer?
I was.
At one time, and is that how you got into that?
When I was 12, I was doing musical theater. In fact, I was actually getting paid as a professional singer at one point as a young child. Then I thought I'd be an actor. I thought I was wanted to be, okay, I want to be an actor. And then when you go to these auditions and you find yourself competing with people that are on the, you know, on Newsweek magazine or they're on one of the covers of the publications, then you just go, you know what, I don't want to do this. For me, it was more about, I'd rather be what I'm doing now because I've seen the business and I know what it's like out there and I know how hard it is. And so for me, I'd rather be able to give the gift of being able to say, I'd rather sign you. We have a 15-year-old artist, Presley Tennant, that it's just such an honor to me to be able to give her a record deal. It's there's nothing like it on the planet. I mean, it really isn't.
How do you keep them with you? As they get more successful and they more popular and...
You know what? My philosophy is that I don't have to keep them with me. If I helped them get, I hope to keep them with me, but my hope is that if I can get them to a place that somebody else takes them somewhere else, then I've only done them a justice or a service to get them to that point, right? Mm-hmm. So if we sign a 15-year-old and she breaks and all of a sudden the major, which there is majors that's chasing her, and the deal's right, you know, and the deal makes sense for everybody, then I would say go. You know, if that's where she wants to go.
So if a major label wants her, you get a percentage of that deal too? How does it work?
Well, because what you do is you sign the artist,
yeah.
right? Like an agent. And you okay. sign the artist to an
More
independent
like a
record deal.
Okay.
So what we would do is our percentage of the deal would then, we would get our percentage of the deal. And I don't know that we would want to do that, but I don't know that it's out of the equation. You know, if it made sense and the deal made sense and somebody came in and said, look, we'll offer you $5 million as far as that goes to take it to the next level, we'd have to sit down as a team and like Presley's dad and her mom and her other manager is involved.
Okay. So. John, we're just about ready to break. We'll be back for part two. This is a fascinating show with some fascinating guests. All right, we will be right back. 790 KABC News Talk everything at this station, including me.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss, because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's F-U-N to 85850.
A bath faucet should stand the test of time and always be in style no matter what your style. The exclusive Pfister Ladera widespread bath faucet in Tuscan bronze from the Home Depot does exactly that. And it's at a new lower price of just $109. You save $10. So you can have this timeless design without having to renovate your budget. The exclusive Pfister Ladera faucet, now just $109 during the Winter Kitchen and Bath event only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 7th while supplies last.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services. If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. With one call to WAL, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Call 800-727-0433. That's 800-727-0433.
790 KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. Peter Rabbit filmmakers and the studio behind it are apologizing for insensitively depicting a character's allergy in the film that has prompted backlash online.
Sony Pictures said in a statement that the film, quote, should not have made light of a character being allergic to blackberries. In Peter Rabbit, which was number 2 at the box office this weekend, the character of Mr. McGregor is allergic to blackberries, and there is a scene where the rabbits fling the fruit at him, and he's forced to use an EpiPen. The charity group Kids with Food Allergies posted a warning about the scene on its Facebook page, prompting some on Twitter to start using the hashtag #BoycottPeterRabbit. The studio and filmmakers say they regret not being more aware and sensitive to the issue. I'm Alex Hinton.
KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy this evening, then mostly cloudy overnight with a 20% chance of showers after midnight. Lows will be in the upper 40s to mid-50s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too. Like getting a dozen roses for just $17.99 and totally making their Valentine's Day extra special. Or getting one for them, one for you, Dove milk and dark chocolate hearts, 2 for $7. For the hard to please, get 10% off all fragrances, including Viva La Juicy. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
February is Heart Health Month, so Quantum Nutrition Labs is featuring two key support agents for promoting cardiovascular and circulatory health. Quantum Delta Tocotrienol and Quantum Resveratrol. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. And get a free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Oh, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay. I like it. All right. We are here for part 2 of the Sid Levine Show. I just want to give a shout out over the weekend yesterday. My wife and I, Patricia, who's from Yorkshire, we went to a great British store that had all the stuff Liz, you should check this out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All the stuff that you would find in England that you can't find here.
Like and Marmite and Hobnobs.
Oh, yeah, Marmite. Oh, God. She opens up the Marmite. I run down the street.
Does everybody know what Marmite is?
I just found out. I have a golf instructor that I've never heard of it.
Come on.
What are the Australians eat?
Australians eat Vegemite.
Yes. That's what he told me. He says it's
and
like
I run
I just
to the
heard
hills
this.
That way, too. I can't stand
they say
it.
You either love it or you hate it. That's I'm a lover.
So,
love
okay. It. Rosie Lee Imports in Ventura and Susan Mallory. Is the owner there, and it was an incredible place.
Do they have a website? Because I definitely would want some of this British food.
Rosie Lee Imports, it's on East Main Street in Ventura, 805-643-5832.
I'm going.
So, yeah, you got
I want my chocolate hobnobs.
You got your, and they have toffees like you wouldn't believe.
Well, no, I do, because I know what they're like.
Oh, my God. All right, so, Jane.
Yes.
You handed me a postcard here that's a fascinating project that you're involved with. The Unintended. What is The Unintended?
Unintended is a film that I shot a year ago with the wonderful Jeff Perry, who is an amazing actor. He's currently on Scandal. Mm-hmm. And
I love Scandal.
Oh. So do I. I love that show.
Great show.
Yeah.
And I was working with these two women in the theater, had a great run of a show, and closed that and kept pounding on doors trying to find a bigger theater to put this wonderful show in. It was the writer and the director. Couldn't find it. She said, let's do it. Let's do a short film. So the writer on staff, there's three of us, these women, writes this wonderful show. We decide to do it. And I didn't, because I don't know Jeff as well. Now I do. But that was their top pick. And this is a great story because they said, nobody knew who he was, somehow got to his probably not even manager, but got it sent to him. And he read it and said, yeah, I'll do it. Mm. And I mean, it was just one of those, yes, really? And then, I mean, we liked it, but it's literally a 10-minute short. So we shot it. He gave us a day of his time. And so it was a quick one, quick shoot. And then now it just got accepted into the, I'm on the spot, Sedona Film Festival.
Really?
So we are put in the main theater after one of the main shows. It's going to be March 1st at like 7:15. So if I can find somebody to babysit, I'm flying down there and going to see myself on the big screen and flying back the next day.
So let me ask you, Jane, you make a short film and you want to put it in all the film festivals, I would suspect, Sundance, everything. What's the process? How do you go about doing all that?
Gosh, I should have my partner here, Dale, because she's the one who deals with that. We all have our strengths in something, and she does. She actually has had a couple films, so she knows the whole circuit, and so is the director, Deborah Levine, who I've also worked with and working currently on something else with. They both have done the circuit, so they know. And they kind of even know, like, although Sundance, everybody loves that name, they kind of know, well, this is some for this. Our film might not be for them.
Okay.
I guess like you as an agent, you know, you kind of go, oh, this actress is amazing, but she's not that great at playing an avocado on a hot day, so I'm not going to put her in for that role. I mean, it's just knowing. And she does know. So she kind of finds the things, writes to them, lets them know there's usually a fee.
Right.
And sees if we fit in with them, and that's what we do. You know, they know I'm from Pennsylvania, so they try to do a few Pennsylvania things to be nice to me. They know Jeff is from Chicago, you know, so there
wow,
you go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
And, of course, you're in it.
Of course I am.
What is it about? What is it about?
It's crazy. He is a burn victim. He's severely burned. Jeff is. He plays a severely burned. And I come in here. I'm on a weekend with my husband. I come in this, and I'm sure that weekend isn't going so great. So I'm in this park just taking pictures, and I zoom on him, start taking pictures of him because his face is so interesting. But in the same breath, I go back and look at the pictures, and I see that he's looking right at me. And he looks like he wants to kill me. So I'm feeling so guilty. I go back to that park. And I say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean, I was just looking at you as art piece. I hand him back the chip from, you know, and it goes on either a friendship or he kicks my ass.
Wow.
Am I allowed to say, he kicks my butt. but it's either or, but you know, it's just how we communicate and how we can kind of say, I don't think he really noticed or probably really didn't bother, but are you really just letting yourself off the hook?
Wow.
Or is it something you should say, you know what? I did something wrong and I'm going to do something. So
So it's a meaningful storyline, right?
Meaningful.
It makes you sit and think and be a bit more
emphatic. That's what we're hoping, you know, it gets from it. Because I don't think when us actors say I do not mean I, Jane, but my character, I, Clarissa, I don't think I'm a bad person, but I think I made a mistake and I just want to make it better, you know.
I remember an acting teacher saying to me years ago, even if you're playing a murderer, you don't think you're a bad person. You justify it. Mm-hmm. And I remember sat in that class thinking, wow, that's profound.
That is interesting.
You're never the bad person because you would justify it. So so that's quite interesting. I guess it's nice to see the dealing with the questions going on in your mind, right? With
right.
that character.
Right.
So John, somebody comes to you, let's say they're a manager of a band, and they think they have the greatest band since the Beatles. And they push and push and push for you to see the band in person. Do you do that?
Yeah, I'll go out. In fact, a lot of my journey is going out and seeing those artists. You know, one thing that happens on this side of it, when they find out you are a label and they find out you do have money and you're able to produce music, you know, we're part of Revolver Studios out in Thousand Oaks, and Michael Blue and Ken Kalay and the people that are out there. We're Bill Smith. We've been really blessed to be able to have a great group of producers, engineers, multi-nominated Grammys, and Ken, of course, Grammy winner. But that's my job, is really another part of the job, is looking for that next signed artist.
Well, let's say you go and I'm just hypothetically to the Whiskey, and you see a band, and you go, everybody in that band, there's five guys, the four guys are fantastic, but the other guy is horrific. What do you do?
If it's a band, you know, then it's up to the guy that whoever's, or person whoever's heading the band, and I can talk to him, and if I feel like the band, in this day and age, you can't sign somebody just to sign them. I mean, it has to be precise why you're signing them. Because when you spend thousands and thousands of dollars on recording an artist today, and then you put them out, on social or whatever, and you build their platform, and you build their publicity campaign, there's a lot to consider. So in that realm, I would probably talk to the one that I was interested in and say, look, I realize you're in a band. Are you interested in being solo? Are you interested or whatever, to see where they're coming from? And then, but I'm not going to have a turmoil just because they can't get along or whatever. It's disaster.
Or if the manager is terrible.
I won't deal with that either. If the manager's terrible, here's the thing with your label. Your connection with the manager is constant, right? And if you can't get along with the manager of that band, walk away. I mean, it's just not worth it. I don't care if they're the next Grammy, because your headache, you know, it's you lose your hair faster than you want to, for sure.
Are there managers that you, when you hear that person's name, you just, that's it?
Well, you know what? It's just like you. You've been in the business long enough to where that, you know, you hear somebody's there or somebody, whatever. And as soon as, I won't go there. I mean, I don't want to associate with that. Not to say we can't go have a drink or we can't go have a coffee, but I'm not going to be involved, at least from a label. I can't.
I have a question. So say one of these social media stars, they have 5 million followers, wants to be a singer, and they're hassling you, knocking down your door, and they're okay, but they're not brilliant. What do you do? Would you work with them or not?
Yeah, you can work with them like we're doing. We're getting ready to do a campaign on anti-bullying. In fact, we're doing an Avalon show on what's really happening to young people today. And we're going to hire influencers. We're going to hire influencers to be a part of the show, to be able to highlight artists. And we have people that, from The Voice and contestants of The Voice and Idol and AGT and all that, that we are associated with. But again, I would work with those artists, because I would put them into like a Ken Kalay and Artist Max and go to artist development to see what they're missing.
Okay.
Right? Because they already got a great fan base already started, right? But, you know, again, doesn't mean that they're going to sustain. My biggest fear with the social media campaigns is how long do they sustain themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Because once they fade out, you know, and kids' music's like
this. Well, if Instagram closes or the next thing catches, What do you do when you sign somebody? Because there's a guy who has 6 million followers, and I was speaking to him, and he wants to be an actor. And obviously that fan base is worth something because people want to raise money and they want to produce films. So, you know, what do? Do you work with somebody like that? What if they don't have the talent, but they have the fan base? This is the world we live in now.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? It's also today. It's, the fan base definitely is. Those guys make plenty of money. I mean, Team 10 and the Paul brothers and all the guys that are out there that have multi-million followers, you know, they make tons of money. They're living in mansions and they're doing their thing. Yeah. And they are acting and they are going out because they're all influence driven and they're all social driven. You know, but again, those guys, you know, I don't know how long they'll be there. I don't know how long they'll sustain themselves.
So, Rhonda, let me ask you. Somebody comes to you and they have a small business and they want to advertise on, you know, KBC.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that they really kind of can't afford it, but they're going to try to do it. Would you take them on if they really, and they were hoping that it, you know, was going to catch on and it's going to help their business, but they really can't afford it. Would you take them on as a client?
You know what? I don't want to set anybody up for failure. I want it to be successful. If it's successful, they're going to come back to radio. And if they just don't have the money, I'd say, wait, hold off. You know, you do a talk to them and you hear what their needs, their wants are, and do a customer analysis. And the worst thing that can happen is if it fails. So I would, if they didn't have the proper budget, I'd walk away from it. You know, and that's how I would handle it. That's my pride, my integrity. You know, and that's what's important to me. And I think, you know, my management backs me up on that. I think that they would agree. I don't want to take anybody's money. Radio works. Radio is amazing. If you have the right message, it's a frequency medium. You got to tell people. You got to remind them what you told them. You got to tell them again. And it's a fabulous, fabulous way to go for advertising, but it just has to be done right. In fact, can I give a little shout out?
Can I
do that? I'm really proud of us. When you said, you know, what are the most amazing moments at the radio station? Well, we just had a 2-day telethon, really, for St. Jude's. And it was amazing. 48 hours, both radio stations raised over $700,000. It
great.
Shattered all the records at St. Jude's. So stuff like that is, hey.
Wow.
No, but I'm really proud of
that's
that.
Fantastic.
And you know what? I'm proud when it works for my clients. I'm proud when all the charity that we do at this radio station. I mean, we've done, you know, concerts, whether it be for MS, you know, raise money for that.
Blood
I mean, there's
drives.
So many blood drives, KLOS blood drives, amazing, broke Guinness World Book of Records. So those are the things that make me really proud to work for KLOS and KBC.
Well, let me ask you too now, somebody that wants to advertise on the station and can afford it, but you can sense they're kind of impatient and they're expecting results immediately. And they're going to hound you, and they're going to call you every day, and they're going to go crazy on you.
That's okay. They can call me, and they can hound me every day. But it has to be the right message. And there are certain components that if you have the proper advertising campaign, it's going to work, and radio does work.
Well, who does that, though? Who is the person or people, is it you, that comes up with that campaign? Because let's say they don't have an idea. And they want to get into radio.
You know, working at Cumulus Radio, which owns us, we're blessed. We have a wonderful staff of people, creative people, production. You know, we have a fabulous promotion department, programming, all that. And they are truly creative, and they come up with all that. You know, you hear these success stories. I mean, one really quick success story is Sit and Sleep Radio. He started on one radio station, Larry Miller.
Oh, your mattress is free.
That's it. I can't even see an overnight.
That. Yeah. Everybody.
With who was sleep. Yeah, but think about it. That was with Ray Bream. He was basically going to be going out of business, you know, but that one location, and he believed enough in radio, and he believed in radio, and he believed in KABC. He did overnights, and it worked. And then he put more money into it. And he plunged his advertising from one station. It went to 2 to 3 to 4. And now look at Larry Miller. He is like one of the best success stories.
Wow.
With radio. So talk to guys like that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful.
Well, let me throw another hypothetical situation at you. An actor comes to town. He's got some money. His family has some money, whatever. And he says to himself, what can I do to get myself noticed in Hollywood? I've got a good voice. I'm quick. I'm far. I'm funny. So on and so forth. A guy comes to you and says, I want to advertise on KABC, and I want people to get to know me. What would you tell that person?
I would talk to him. I'd say, talk to Sid. I mean, it's not, you know, you have to have the proper vehicle.
But would you take his...
You know, I mean, I've never really gone through that as a client.
It is an idea for actors out there.
You could do that. You know what? It has to be the right product. You know, you have to, at the end of the day, we all have to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, am I doing the right thing? And you want it to work for somebody and you want them to come back. So, I would definitely talk to him and, have him get a great agent. I'd send him to you, right? That's the way it goes. You know, no.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you want to do the right thing.
Well, sure.
Yeah, make it work.
So let me ask you, Jane, of the years of hoping and just hoping for something to really hit big and what have you, how do you cope with that?
Oh, gosh. It is tough. It's really tough because it's a bummer. It's not going away. It's not something that I'm like, yeah, I just love it so much. Thank God through other things, my training, other money, and having a wonderful husband, I don't have to rely on getting my next gig in a TV show or the theater or to live. Thank God. It's tough. There's nothing else to say. I am absolutely not willing to give up this dream, but no, there are many years I haven't made a living off it. And when I do, it's been things like commercials, you know, which are fine. They're more than fine. It's money coming in and that, but it's definitely not, you know, it's not acting. It's not, you know, getting in a part. But you know, it's funny because a lot of people would say, you know, film acting isn't, it's a very different acting than theater. I mean, theater, you get to really be that person for 2 hours.
Right.
You don't just get cut and then you got to kind of work yourself up again for it. So it's so different, but it's tough. It's tough. And I'm not giving it up. And you're stuck with me, Sid.
No,
and I'm still hanging out and going to knock on your door.
Yeah.
I'm still going to keep trying to look good a certain way, even though I'm getting a little older. I think I'm getting less older than most people per year. I like to tell myself that, but it is.
But you're starring in a short.
Yeah.
That can help big time because people can see you.
Right.
And you never know what can happen from that. So you obviously would tell actors that that's another way to go.
Yeah, and be in the theater and be in class, even if, you know, but if you have an amazing agent like I do, they'll come and see you in the theater, you know, and then they go, you know what, she can't act. She's not just trying to be famous or, you know, there's something.
I remember seeing you in the play where you were on vacation or something like that.
Yes.
And your husband, I forget.
Yeah,
what,
it was a big star.
You were fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I believe that if you do that, if it's the right theater, the right part, people will come out and see you.
Right.
And they will respect that big time.
Yeah.
And something could happen from it. You have to do everything that you can think of. Now, how do you find the right short?
Well, I'm so lucky because I started it started from the theater. I got a call a Sunday night, just like tonight. I'm up in Northridge at my sister's having a family party and somebody just said, they're looking for this part. They haven't been able to find this. Again, nothing huge, but it was a theater. It was the Edgemar, Santa Monica, but I knew there was a name. Rob Estes. He was on Melrose Place and that. And there was one other character and they need us. I took my, you know, probably 5-year-old daughter at the time, maybe 4. And my husband said, we got to go. I have an audition Sunday night. Got home, went down to Santa Monica. It was crazy, but I auditioned for this and nailed it and got it. And these are the two women, the writer and the director that I've kind of formed a company with. Mm-hmm. And this is how, and now I have a writer on staff. You know, and it's not like I have some huge company, but I have a little company. One's a writer, one's a director. My director, and dear producer friend Deborah works at, the head of CalArts in their theater department. Mm. So it's funny how many connections you can get. So I'm with these two women And wow. then, so yeah.
So that they get the project.
So yeah, Dale, we have a writer on staff, her. And that's what we, and just recently we hooked up with two other women who had another Ponytail Films, and we came together with them, and that's for another show, but I will be back with those women because we're producing another, series.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's
so fantastic. It does seem like that now. You're kind of doing your own thing, and with social media and things, it just seems like you can do that more than you ever could. Wow. You know, like even with yours, John, you're small. You said you're a smaller company there, and instead of these big, huge record labels where no one's going to, they're not going to see you.
Well, let me ask you what Jane had said. The passion is still there. The love for it is still there. How about you, John?
You know, I don't think it ever goes away if you've truly have gotten the bug, when they say the bug. Every time I've tried to think to myself, I wish I was never in this business, I always find myself doing something even more so to be in this business. And it's always comes back. And a great point to what you were just talking about. I learned a long time ago in this little film, Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason and Tom Hanks. At that time, Gary Marshall was directing, God rest his soul today. Most wonderful man on the planet. And I was just an extra. And Gary came over to me and said, "Hey, come over here. Can you do this?" And I knew a lot of the guys at Second City, Rich Kind and family over there, Jimmy Belushi, John Belushi at those times. And Gary says, "Here, do it." I got my SAG card from that. Now, what happened to me is I showed up. And the only thing I say about everybody else that's out there, what Jane's point was just about, is that just show up. Every day, it's not going to be guaranteed, and it's a brutal battle, but I would never do anything else that I, other than what I do.
What
I just love
you,
it.
Rhonda? You still have the passion?
I still love doing it after all these years. I think it's interesting that everybody, each one of us, Jane, John, Liz, you, all of us, we all are so passionate about what we do. That's probably what makes us good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if you don't have that passion, then you really shouldn't do it.
I agree.
Because it's going to come through sooner or later. I always said to myself that if you really want something in life, I mean, really, really want it, and you give up, how could you ever trust yourself the next time you wanted something really, really bad?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't trust yourself, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I've always gone by that premise because being 32 years as an agent, there are a lot of great times and a lot of heartbreaking times where clients that, you know, hit it big and, you know, they leave. And there's really nothing, John, as you said, there's nothing you can do about it, but you go on because of the passion that you have for what you do. And, you know, I'm 60 years old. I've been doing it 32 years. And I hope to do it as long as I can because that's the love of what I do. I love my wife. Incidentally, Valentine's Day is coming up. Happy Valentine's Day, Patricia. I love you. Jane, you want to wish anybody a happy Valentine's
Day? Yeah, to my dear, dear husband and my daughter, Elizabeth. I love you both more than anything.
Oh, that's great.
I've got my
Rhonda?
Valentine right here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is
John?
He here?
Where is he?
Where is he?
John, get off her. Come on. You have a couple days. Get off her.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. This has been a really, really, really fascinating show. I want to thank big time Jane Hijack, thank you so much for coming down.
My absolute pleasure.
Rhonda Cherney, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.
John Bryan, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you,
of course, Liz Fuller. And Evelyn, thank you so much for doing this live stream. You came through for me. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, we'll see you next week, next Sunday, 790 KABC. See you then, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day.
This show furnished by Sid Levine.